Please take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 18, and I'll be reading verses 15 to 30, and I reverence the God who stands as the word is read. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. People were bringing gifts to him so he might touch them. But when the disciples came or saw it, they rebuked him. Jesus, however, invited them, "Let the little children come to me, and don't stop me, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." A ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." "I've kept all these from my youth," he said. When Jesus heard this, he told him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." After he heard this, he became extremely sad because he was very rich. Seeing that he became sad, Jesus said, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Then who can be saved?" He replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Then Peter said, "Look, we have left what we had and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left a house, wife, or brothers, or sisters, parents, or children because of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times more at this time and eternal life in the age to come." After going through our study in the Gospel of Luke, we looked at a situation on Wednesday where we saw about a Pharisee and a tax collector going to the temple to pray. Jesus had warned people about trusting in their own ability, trusting in their own righteousness. And in verse 9 of chapter 18, our passage on Wednesday started out, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. There are a lot of people that look at their righteousness before God by the definition that they set, not by the definition God set. And there was a Pharisee, and he thinks he is very righteous because his standard is the other people he points out that are worse than him in his mind. He says in verse 11, "The Pharisee was standing and praying like this about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, greedy, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get." So here is this Pharisee. He is an expert in the scripture. He's one that if you had a question about the Bible, you would go to him. And he was the one that's supposed to know it from cover to cover. But what he's been studying hasn't got into him. He thinks he's good by his own definition of what's good. "Look how righteous I am. Look how good I am. I'm better than that person. I'm better than that person." But there's another person there, the tax collector, the outcast of society. In verse 13, the tax collector, standing far off, would not even raise them together, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The tax collector understood his true relationship to God. He was not worthy of what God was offering to him, and understood that God is the one that can grant the mercy. And he called out to God, "Have mercy," and he recognized that he was a sinner. Now the Pharisee didn't recognize he was a sinner. He thought he was good before God. Now, too often we try to bring God down to our level. Have you ever thought, when you go out at night and look at all the stars, bless, but they're all within the hand of God. He created them all. We can't even name them all. So the astronomers that discover a new star just put a number on it. The scripture tells us God knows them all by name. Everything is a creation of God, from the biggest, furthest thing you can see in the universe to the smallest thing you can see with the electron microscope or whatever one they invent next to see smaller and smaller. God is there. And he's the one that created everything. Look at how big our God is. Look at how powerful our God is. God didn't go into his chemistry lab and make planet Earth. He spoke and it happened. That's a powerful God. And God shows his love for us so much, he became a part of his creation. Because we, through our sin, broken our relationship with him, he came to the payment for our sin. The tax collector recognized him. I am a sinner. God had mercy on me. The Pharisee said, I am a good guy. God, you ought to give me something good because I'm so good. There is no one. Not even. And so Jesus gives an example of the kind of humility we should have. People are trying to bring their children to Jesus to have him bless their children. And the disciples go, no, don't bother. Jesus, he's got more important things to do. And Jesus said, bring the children on. They are the example of the attitude you need to have. God is in charge. So, God, Jesus, God in a body, said if you want to get into the kingdom of God, you must humble yourself like this little child. Now, think about little children. They understand they're helpless without someone looking out for them. They recognize their need, and they tell you their need comes as soon as they're born. Which means, give me something. I need something. Matter of fact, when the child's born, part of the Apgar score is how good they're screaming when they're born. And they're calling out for someone to give them what they want. Now, they might not necessarily know what they want right now. They just know they want something. They also need to carry. They can't walk initially, which is good. Can you imagine if the children started walking together? It's hard enough keeping up with them when they can just barely move, crawl, and they start running. It's even hard, especially. Can you imagine if the small child runs down the road? spirit, yes, sir, is a reminder that there's someone that recognizes they have need. And we need to have that attitude with a child. Also, a child is not loaded down with all preconceived notions that have to be stripped away before you get down to the truth. They have simple trust. And Jesus said, if you want to have eternal life, you have to be humble like a child. That Pharisee was not humble. Tax collector was. And now here comes the righteous, quote, rich ruler. He comes up. He has the right question. What must I do to have eternal life? That's the right question. Because every one of us today is going to live forever. Where are you going to spend eternity? This afternoon, there's a memorial service for Charlie Kirk, who was killed. He was taking a stand for God's truth. One interview I saw part of it. What do you want to be most remembered for? My courage to stand for my faith. Charlie Kirk went to be with God. The memorial service is not to elevate Charlie Kirk. He is with God because of his commitment to God. He understood that he was a sinner saved by grace. There are other people that have died since that time. And they did not have the same faith, recognizing the only Jesus Christ do we have to go from sin. They stood before God. They did not enter into heaven. It was the heart of them. Never knew. And Jesus wants us to understand that difference. This rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, call me a good teacher. Do you understand there's only one good, and that is God alone? Is the rich young ruler that recognizes Jesus is God embodied? Now, Jesus didn't say, I'm not good. Only God is good. And then he gave him some tests to see whether he's good. What do the commandments say? And Jesus lists out the commandments. He doesn't give them order. He goes from the seventh to the sixth to the eighth to the ninth to the fifth. He's, and all of these are commandments that relate our relationship with other people. Do not commit adultery as a seventh commandment. Do not murder the sixth. Do not steal the eighth. Do not bear false witness the ninth. Honor your father and mother the fifth. And the man says, I reject all these. This is for you. Now Jesus didn't contradict him. No, you haven't. Jesus knew. But he says, you only lack one thing. And then he centers on the first commandment. The first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your spirit. Is God first place? And Jesus points out that this man, money is first place for him. Go and sell everything you have and give to the Lord God and follow him. You want to have eternal life? God has to be first. And for this rich man, he made a choice. I choose money. If you have a bump or a lump on your body, you might want to know, is it something I need to worry about? And so you go to the doctor They do x-rays. They do blood tests. They do MRI, CT, PET scans, and biopsies to say you've got cancer. All these tests show you have cancer. But God gives us the Ten Commandments to show that we have the disease of sin. The first commandment is God the most important thing in your life. Second commandment, have you made a false god to worship? Third commandment, have you ever misused God's name? Fourth commandment, do you take one day out of seven to worship God? Fifth commandment, have you always honored your parents? Sixth commandment, have you ever murdered them? Finally got one that I can pass. Jesus said, if you have an angry man, you have a father. It's the same as murder. Have you ever committed adultery? Jesus said, lust is the same thing. Have you ever lied? Have you ever taken something that doesn't belong to you? Have you ever desired something that someone else has that's not yours? Those are 10 tests. And if we're all honest, we show we have broken all 10 of them. Some of us, we've broken all 10 one at a time. Some of us have broken all 10 at the same time. We are all the same. We need help. We are not good. Only God is good. We need help. Jesus then says to his disciples, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a sewing needle, which is something impossible. It's not as someone tried to say, a little small gate into the city wall that the camel had to kneel down and begin to know. There's not a gate in Jerusalem called the Eye of the Needle. No, Jesus is saying, with hyperbole, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the sword than for a religion to carry Who can be saved then? Because the disciples had a common misunderstanding that many people do throughout history. If you're rich, it means you're in right relationship with God. No. God gives wealth to the good by man's definition and to the evil by man's definition. But money, the love of it, told in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, can be the root of all forms of evil. Money is neutral. You can use it for good, you can use it for evil. You can use it to buy groceries, you can use it to buy something you shouldn't be buying. It's neutral. But when your love of money comes to the love of now, he didn't say the wealthy cannot get to heaven. He said it's hard. And the disciples go, who can be saved? Jesus gives the answer. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Those that are wealthy can be saved. Those who are poor. Because it's all about God, not about your possessions. I was reading an article today. Someone went into one of the museums in Egypt and stole Pharaoh's bracelet. Now, Pharaoh's been dead for thousands of years. They stole it. Sold it, and it was melted down. Now, first thing you can see about that article, Pharaoh didn't take it with him. It got left behind for somebody else to find. Now, you might have seen or heard about King Tut and all the riches that they found in his realm. Well, all the other pharaohs were the same way. He had stolen all their stuff. But King Tut, all those riches were in the grave at the Pharaoh. He didn't take any of it with him. And if you go to the museum in Cairo, you can see all those things that he left behind when he was buried with. That bracelet from the Pharaoh, it was stolen. It got melted away. It didn't continue on. It was just a piece of gold. It didn't help that Pharaoh. It didn't put him in the right relationship with God. It was just a piece of jewelry. You do not take anything with you when you die. Or you can simply fail. What you do in this life is store up riches for people around. There's a song, I haven't heard it for a while, called Thank You. This guy died with the heaven. And I need to say thank you. His name is Thank You for Heaven and Watching. Because I'm here in heaven now. But you told me. You're not going to see anybody that you didn't tell about Jesus that came to the faith in Jesus because you didn't tell them in heaven. Now somebody else can tell them. You might see him and say, I wish I had told you this. That's what else. But those that you share with, and we need to tell the truth. Because there's a lot of people telling lies. And we've come to the point in our society today that people think you don't have the right to tell the truth. Violence is okay. If you're telling the truth, you're going to stop your telling. That should not stop you from telling God's truth. Now, we don't need to take a stand for our opinion, because it's just our opinion, but we need to take a stand for God's truth. All throughout the history of Israel, there have been prophets that spoke the truth of God. And during their ministry as prophets, all the people hated them. It's like sometimes you come to church, you wish you were wearing steel-toed boots. Pastor, you stepped on my toes. I just did the next verse in the passage that we're studying in this book. We need to cry out like a pastor. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We do not deserve God's mercy. We need God's mercy. And God not only grants his mercy, he grants his grace. Mercy, remember, is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve. We don't deserve God walking beside us every step of the way. But God is good. And you know, when things happen, God, why'd you let someone taking a stand for your truth? Let him be killed. Because God has a plan. And it could be this man's time is done. He's just light the fire, rekindling the fire that we all should have. There used to be a time when it was an understanding that God is the creator of the universe, and what he said is right. But we come to a position where we have people in our own government that say, our rights come from government, not from God. And our rights come from government. Governments are there for that. But they don't always do that. We need to take a strong approach. And even if we don't understand God's plan, okay? God understands it. God has a plan. We can rest. He is in charge. Now, one of my jobs in school is work out a schedule for a bunch of teachers to go into different classrooms to help students that are struggling. And I get a headache every day I'm working on that. Imagine having a 10,000 piece puzzle. It's all white. And there's some extra pieces to go to a different puzzle, and some pieces missing from that puzzle. And you got to get the puzzle put together, and there's no edge pieces. You know, I can stay up worrying about that. God's in charge. There are things we might worry about if we use our own wisdom. But God says, outside. Now, a lamp of your feet is not like these halogen lights, some of the vehicles we face in the mornings or the evenings when you're driving, where they, if you're the one that has a halogen light, it's great. You can see 10 miles down the road. But if the car coming, it's like all you see is just big glow, especially at a high scale. That's one reason I like the work just across the street in the school there, because I don't have to deal with those headlights. But the word of God, the word is the metaphor, it's the whole. It gives you enough light from one step. Just take the next step. I don't know what God wants me to do. He'll show you the next step. Take that step. And then the next step. My time in the Navy, I was on the biggest ship you can get on. I don't like little boats, stormy seas. So I was on an aircraft carrier. At the back of the aircraft carrier is a piece of metal called a rudder. It doesn't do any good because the ship's moving. The same is true for our life. We need to be moving. Moves that people have us to do. God will force that. We fall off. And Jesus explains to us that he is the church. We have him at the end of our passage. Where's the man? Darkness. And he said to them, truly I tell you, there is no one who has left a house, wife, brothers, sisters, parents, and children, because of the people of God, who will not receive many times more at this time an eternal life in the age to come. A lot of people call fellow believers brothers and sisters. We are part of a family. And for all eternity, you are never alone if you're in God's family. You might feel alone sometimes. I was reading another article about somebody wants to build this spaceship that's, I think, 23 miles long. And they're going to put people on it to send them to Alpha Centauri. It's a one-way trip. And it's going to take many generations to get there. You know what? God's already there. And it happens to be somebody gets on it, and God delays, and they make a spaceship, and people start traveling to the farther stars. Not going to go far. He's still there. Back in the 70s, early 70s, or 60s, going from the Apollo spacecraft, going from the moon. They weren't getting away from God. God created the moon. And I think one of the circled around back on the moon, that is perfect. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, to be a righteous. Not. I thank you that I'm so righteous. Let us share that. I'll be here at the next service. But let us remember, people need you. Today, in the first service, you may mention, you say, what is the most important thing in the world? And direct the conversation to Jesus Christ. Somebody throw it up and embarrass your father. Somebody talks about Christ and says, you know, this is not what's important. Let me tell you about who is important. Jesus Christ. You can use every illustration. You're in the grocery store. Give this a nice apple. Do you know who created that? Where it came from? Everything you can use as a jumping off point to meet people in Jesus. It's not for us to know for yourself. There's a ton of everything is good. Now, this rich young ruler, I read one commentator, they said it was someone who later followed Jesus, but he said it was Paul. But, you know, we'll find out when we get to heaven what happened to him. But Jesus didn't say that's his last chance. Dear Lord, I thank you that you present the truth. You challenge us to take a stand for what's right, to think of ourselves correctly, to realize that we are sinners and we need the truth. Lord, may you pour out mercy and grace to us. Let us share that with you. As you pray, I'll send you.